I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. Can I just say thank you too to the worship team? I might not get a chance to say thank you before I go, but your ministry is very much appreciated, I can tell you. Thank you. Unum Sanctum. That's the theme of our service, and hopefully there will be a few slides coming up. If not, I'm going to have to go by memory. I use my PowerPoint as a means of preaching. I'm going to go back just one more. Is it going to go back the way, just to the title slide? Okay, this was working. Here we go. It's stealing my thunder a little bit. By the way, that's not my feet. And can I say, all the graphics here are generated by Adobe Firefly, otherwise known as artificial intelligence. Okay, I didn't make them. I said to it, do this, and it did it. And it's quite amazing, actually, what it can do. Although sometimes it can look really silly, we'll go about that. There we go, the unity of the church. That's what unum sanctum means. It's not that I forgot. I'm a believer if you see things, you're inclined to remember them better than just hearing. Although faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So let's see. We've done the Apostles' Creed, and we're moving on to the power of God's love. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, reminds that church that they're in a spiritual war. In fact, in the final chapter, he talks about the facilities that God gives to us, not just his grace and his Holy Spirit, but also the full armor of God. Would it be a surprising thing for you to know that last Sunday, my home congregation in Dundee West stood all together as one, asking that God's Holy Spirit be poured out upon them for renewal, for revival, and for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to be in operation in Dundee, right here, beginning? That's the Church of Scotland. That's the Church of Scotland. We're changing, and it's exciting. But we have to change as God the Holy Spirit leads us, not as we think we should be, but as God is conforming us to be as his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In this particular section, he's talking about the stability of God's love, the size of God's love, and indeed the shape of God's love. That's easy to remember, isn't it? It's alliterated: stability, size, and shape. And I would like to just unpack that a little bit for you today, starting with the idea of the stability of God's love. The word that he uses is themelios. Now, some of you might be aware of that. There is a Christian publication called Themelios, a theological publication, a wonderful publication. I recommend it to you. And the idea is to give to students of theology, of divinity, a good foundation in the Word of God. The Themelios, that's what it means, foundation. And in our Bibles, we read of Jesus Christ as our rock, our foundation. This just doesn't want to go forward anymore. In the Bible, here we go, it says, "My rock," Psalm 18, verse 2. "He is the everlasting rock," Isaiah 26, 34. "My rock, my salvation," and even "my fortress," in Psalm 62. "The stone that the builders rejected," in Psalm 118. "Indeed, the stone of stumbling," Paul says, "and the rock of offense." Jesus Christ is Lord. He is and clings exclusively to be the way, to be the truth, and to be the life, and that no person can come to the Father unless they come through him. Make no mistake, there is no apologies for that. There are no other roads to the Father. There is no other access. He is the door of life. He is the door for the sheep to go through. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The udius, that's what way means. We know it better as the exodus. He is the exit. He is the one that enables us to escape this fallen world and to be forever with him and all his people. Again, can you move it on? It just doesn't want to do the business. Here we go. The size of God's love. He talks here about the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. I could add another thing there, and that is the time, because God's love is always available all the time, but not at the expense of his holiness. God is love, but God is holy. And if we're going to preach this good news, this gospel, we have to preach both sides of it. Not just God is a loving God, but also God is judge. God has set the boundary. He has said that all fall short of his glory. No one is perfect. Well, I might be wrong. There might be somebody here. Anybody perfect? No? Okay, I think I've got that right. I don't think I've got it right. I think the Holy Spirit got it right, because that's what's in the Bible. For all have sinned and fall short. So we need a Savior. And that Savior is made known to us through the love of God, his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, incarnate. And here, into this world, he came to save us from our sin. The size of God's love is wide enough to reach the whole world and beyond. It's not limited, thank goodness, to the steeple, or to Coldside, to Dundee Law. Neither is it limited to Dundee. It goes beyond, and it is not limited in time. It unites all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. He is the creator and maker of all things, we say in our Apostles' Creed. We believe these things. All things were made by him. Can we move on one more? It's long enough to stretch from eternity to eternity. That's what he says here. It brings to light the gift of God for everyone, the plan, the mystery, if you will, hidden for ages. And indeed, have you brought it up here? So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God can indeed be made known. I didn't realize you had it up there as well. So I'm glad you got it there. We are the vessels God has chosen to make that gospel message known. That's humbling. From the youngest to the oldest, you are the mouthpiece, the ambassadors for Christ. That's incredible. God is trusting you with his message. I can remember a long time ago getting given a note that I was to take to my dad. And the note was quite simply this: don't come home because we're not going to be there. We're off to the pictures. Join us at 5 o'clock. I took the note and lost it. I got to my dad and I said, I had a note. What was it for? I can't remember. Oh, don't worry, I'll see you later. And off I went. Well, he came home, and of course there was nobody home because we'd all gone to the pictures. He was really annoyed, because he didn't have a key to get in. And he'd just sit outside waiting till we all got back. And of course, we were all happy because we had just seen a movie. I can't tell you what the movie was. I don't remember that. All I remember is I failed to deliver the note. And that has stuck with me all my life. My poor dad had gone out and he was sat there in his dungarees on the step for a couple of hours. It was not a happy time for me. If we move on one more, the church has got to bring this message. It's high enough to raise both Gentiles and indeed Jews to the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. In other words, there's no one excluded. All nations, every tribe, every tongue, all will be raised up through the grace and mercy of God. In heaven, there will be a declaration of praise sung by the people of God. Again, if you move on. It's deep enough to rescue people from sin's degradation. It goes to the lowest of the lowest of the lowest of the low. Okay? And will pull them up. They can't pull themselves up because all have sinned and fall short. They have to be rescued. And God can rescue to the gutter and beyond. Okay? God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. There is hope. There is no one outside it. That's what drives parish nursing. That's the parish nursing metaphor, isn't it? That's what we are saying. No matter what difficulties you're facing in life, whether it be debt, despair, depression, God can reach into your life and in his power deliver you, make you a new creation, give you hope and fill you with joy, give you life and life abundant. Isn't that a great message? That's the gospel. And that's what we're called to proclaim. Because God is self-existent, his love has no beginning. Because he's eternal, his love can have no end. Because he's infinite, his love has no limit. Because he is holy, it is the quintessence of all spotless purity. Because he is immense, his love is an incomprehensibly vast, bottomless, shoreless sea. So said A.W. Tozer many years ago. He experienced it, and we can experience it if we haven't already. If we move on one more. The shape of God's love. The love of Christ is the love that he has for the church as a united body. That's what Paul is telling us here in Ephesians. And for those who trust in him as individuals. I'd like to try and illustrate that quite simply here. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the church has, through the centuries, 2 centuries now, 2,000 years, been ministering as a community, a gathered together people. And through that gathering, they have determined what are the creeds. We just said one, didn't we, when we welcomed Betty? Together we stood and we said the Apostles' Creed. And the creeds determine the doctrines that we adhere to as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the person and work of Christ, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of the Scriptures being inerrant and authoritative in all things. These are things that we embrace. And from them come what we call the confessions. The confessions are what make us denominations. We confess certain aspects within those creeds. And within those confessions, believe it or not, there's a thing called catechisms, where you learn how to respond to that in an educated way. It takes you back, the catechisms, to the Word of God, because nothing is in conflict with the Word of God. Nothing can be in conflict with the creeds. Nothing can be in conflict with them. They are laid down through apostolic teaching, which was received through Christ. So it cannot be in conflict. You cannot change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His counsel is the same. The creeds are authoritative too. From the creeds, confessions, and catechisms, we then come to the councils. And the councils deal with issues that are raised in the world today, as we did in the world 100 years ago, 500 years ago, 2 centuries ago. They meet. The first one we read of is in Acts. That council had a real problem. How do we cope with Jews who have become Christians and Gentiles who have become Christians and who are trying to live together as the community united in faith? That's what the first issues were, okay? And they thrashed that through the apostolic teaching which was received from Jesus. That has passed down. If I can illustrate it, okay, starting first creeds, councils, creeds, confessions, catechisms, councils, okay? We'll see what happens, because I think they should see it. They might know how I'm going to do this, but we'll see. So we'll start with this like so. I want you to understand that when we take these and we put them together, what we end up with is something very special. I wonder if you can tell what I'm holding. Can you tell who this is yet? Okay, can you tell? I'll put it in here. Here we go. And can you remember what that one was? Catechisms. Here we go. And finally, councils. Whoop. Here we go. I'm all fingers and thumbs today. I think that's it. We'll see. If I hold it so. Okay. I hope this works. Who is this? Yeah, who said Charlie Chaplin? Well done, you. That's exactly who it is. Charles the Chaplain. Okay? Charles the Chaplain. Yeah. Charlie Chaplin. When the creeds, confessions, catechisms, and councils are together, the unity of the church, it's the same, can really proclaim the full truth and picture. And that's what Jesus said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another." That is the unum sanctum, the pasa patria, the family of God. And that's what you are, the family of God. Can we move on one more slide? So the shape of God's love. Get this. Paul says comprehend it. And the word that he uses is get a grip. It literally is get a grip. Get an understanding. Fully understand this. Hold it. Make it your own. Take it. Don't just think it. Live it. Act it out. One more slide on. And the word he uses is existio. And it means use force. Get up and do it. Do it. Use effort. Energy. The church should be the most energetic, powerful body in the world. Why? Because we have the dunamis, where we get the word dynamite, the Holy Ghost. And that power is at work. We hear stories of women doing things like this, lifting colossal weights, cars even. Through the power of God, we're able to do amazing things. Now, I'm not suggesting go out trying to lift a car. What I'm saying is, with God, all things are possible. God helps us overcome. God indeed blesses us in the face of the impossible things. And here's the thing. The love that God gives us is key to the Holy Spirit's fruit. Through love, joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Remember, Betty, I was saying to you, please know these fruits in your life, not just you and me and in all of us. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness and self-control. Is love holding the reins. That wasn't me who did that. I don't know who said it. I wrote it down a long time ago, but Jesus said this, that the world would see and know him through our love for each other. We must be rooted and founded in sacrificial love in all its dimensions, in all its dimensions, in its stability. In its stability, it stabilizes us. If anything, this world is looking for love, isn't it? It's looking for that agapeic, that sacrificial love. And we know the shape of that love in Christ our Lord, don't we? We know the strength of that love. So therefore, we can tell out this good news. Thank you. So let's pray. Father, you call us as church to make Jesus known, to make disciples, and to make a difference. Once again, we want to thank you for Betty. We pray your blessing on her and anyone else considering coming into a public faith, an authentic declaration of faith in Christ. Help us present the full picture through your love and grace, recognizing your holiness and your truth also, that we might present Christ in all the splendor that we can, so that yours will be the glory, the honor, and the highest praise, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.